I approach design education as a binary. On one side is knowing about design. This is an outside-in construct. And on the other side is becoming a designer. That is the inside-out perspective. I privilege the latter. The project you have embarked upon is one of becoming. I'm keen to be the midwife. Welcome to Learner Centered Design Education. I'm your host, Soumitri Vardarajan. This is the end of the year, so we've been through a couple of events, the reviews of the semester's work, as it were, for the PhDs, the masters, the honors, the undergrad. So here's a provocation. You have heard me say, I don't care about your project. I care about how you do it. I care about how you choose to do your becoming. And a couple of questions for you. Is it true that nobody cares about your content, your project? Is it true that it is your method that is important? These two questions can remain as questions. You can answer them any way you choose, and your response will define how you rock up to a presentation, to an assessment panel, to your PhD reviews, and say, this is what I am doing. Okay, so let's try this. So suppose you want to irritate the panel. How do you do it? Now, you can do really bad work, you can be completely chaotic. But no, you do an amazing job. You do something so good, and then the panel is irritated. So one trick that you can use is you can look and sound like you're selling something. You look and sound like you care about the topic and this is really important. And then you forget to talk about your journey, your process, and your work, and what is it that you did on a day-to-day basis, and what were the difficulties that you had. You choose to be a marketer. You choose to do an advertisement for your project. You do not open the doors for your laboratory. Will all panelists get irritated when you start to pitch things at them and sell things to them? That's a question for you to answer. But there is a good chance that it might not be a good idea. Certainly not in the creative disciplines. So what is the alternative? The alternative is that you collaborate with the panel. You say, I have had the most amazing period this semester. Can I show you some of that stuff? And they go, yes, yes. And then you go, look. I'll very briefly tell you what this project is. I'm not going to bore you. So here's the thing. And the first thing that I have taught my students for about 30 years now is there is this thing in science and engineering called the abstract for your scientific paper. So you've got a scientific paper and you are going to say something, and you have to say it very concisely, very precisely, with no flowery phrases. And so what does the abstract have to look like? So it has a four-part structure. The first part is, this is my project. Clear, very straightforward, this is my project. And this is the topic of my project. The second thing is, this is a fantastic topic. This is a really important topic. This is a topic that I'm activated by. So something like that is the second point. What is the third point? And this is how I'm going to do the project. These were all the different ways I could do this project, but I have chosen to go down this path. I have chosen to go down the path less traveled, or something like that. And then the last one is where I will get to and what I hope to show through this project, which means I am going to produce something beautiful or something provocative. So just these four things, you can go and do all your Google search, and you will find that there will be variations of this. Something more pedantic, something as structural as what I have given you. I'm a method person, so I'm saying consider this and see if it works for you. For years, if you've been a student of mine doing a PhD, I would say, go in there for a progress review. You have three parts. And there are always only three parts to a progress review. Whether it's in your job, in your employment, wherever, there are only three parts to a review. Where you have come from, which means what has been going on till now. So you might have a sort of small version of your abstract, which is, you know, this is the topic and this is where it's important. And then till this point, this is the thing I have been doing. So that's the first part. Then you have something called the middle part. And the middle part is the magical part. And it is the most underrated part. And it's where you can do a colloquium. If you're a PhD, you can say, I have actually been looking at this topic. Would you like to listen to me? I'd like to do a bit of a reading. I've been writing something. I've been improving my writing. And they go, yes, yes, show us. Tell us. What is it you want to do? And so there is the opportunity for you to do something in the middle part. And then the last part is where to from here. So if you are, however, working on, let's say, a smaller project, maybe you're an undergraduate student or an honors student, you want to say, these are all the things we tried out. And when we came here, there was a fork in the road and we took this path. And then we went there, there were these two decisions and these are the... So the middle part is beautifully illustrated to invite the panel into the journey, into the decision tree. Okay, so yesterday I asked you, so this is me recounting a conversation that I had with a student. Yesterday I asked you, oh, you have green walls. And so we're sort of making up a story as we go along. Yes, yes. It was very difficult to choose the green, so we had to go. We said moss green, dark green, historical, contemporary, a sort of Japandi, Scandinavian green. Okay, then we've got the green, but do we want it textured? Do we want it, you know, the sort of satiny feel about it? And then we looked at a lot of different kinds of textures and treatments. And then we had to find somebody who would give us the kind of quality that we were looking for. So we went on to this sort of tradie hire portal, and then we put it in there and we described the job and everything. And then a bunch of people wrote in and they all had different prices and they said, we'll come and take a look and then we'll tell you more. So we, over a period of time, we invited three of them. They came in and they looked at it. And one of them that we chose, we deliberated a lot about it. And then we said, we'll go with the one in the middle or the one. And eventually we went with this one person because something about them, and then you go into why you chose them. And then they came in and these are, and then over the next 10 minutes, you describe the process. And the person listening goes, whoa, that's a really nice story. And that is a story of how your wall got painted. That's really fabulous. What was the first story? Well, the first story was about what we liked about green walls and what magazines we were looking at. And why green is totally amazing, you know, it's for feng shui, it's calming, and it reduces anxiety. And I said, oh, no, I don't want to hear that stuff. Tell me the second story. So you could choose to go with the first story. That's your option. I would go with the second story, because that is the authentic story. That is the story. So in a sense, the second way of speaking about your work is authentic, the things you've done. It allows the panel into the laboratory. Come, it's a mess, everything is lying around, but come around, have a look. This is my workshop, this is my studio, this is my laboratory, these are my maquettes, these are my prototypes, these are my form models, these are my sketches. And they go, whoa, this is really, really fascinating. Why didn't you go down that way? And because I had this other idea, I want to go down this way. Okay, and then what happened? Then I tried this. So, for example, if you have a relational database, you have an Airtable, you've been looking at stuff, would you take a screenshot or would you make a slide saying, this is a photo from my Airtable? No, you would open Airtable on a separate tab saying, come into my Airtable, let me look at it. Then you click on something, open, and then say, this is a designer, this is from Drouh Design, this is Marcel Wonders, and this is this particular thing about his work that I really, really like. Now, can I show you what in the old days we used to do as image boards, but I've actually been delving in and building an ecology of visual artifacts. And you go, yeah, show it. And then you open your Pinterest, and then you show lots of different kinds of boards. And then you go into one of those boards, and you click it, and you talk about it. Have you got some computer models? Yeah. Do you saw the final slick one? No. I'll show it to you in CAD, and then I'll show you. I'll spin it around, and I'll show you so that you can see what are the things I'm doing and why I've chosen to go the way I've gone. And I've made something. Can I show you some paper models that I've made? So this is essentially the one of, let's say, the laboratory way. Come into my market garden. Let's walk around and let's look at things. No, come into my living room and I'll show you photographs of my market garden. You choose what you want. Okay, so this is very quickly one way of thinking about how to do your presentations. Okay, you don't like this way. I have other ways. But let's say there is a binary, the outside in view and the inside out. So the inside out is show the chaos, the confusion, the passion, the energy, the conflicts, and the decision tree. And it will be completely fantastic. Now, in constructivism, the activity of learning does not happen when you do a project or when you do something. The activity of learning is a realization. It happens afterwards. It is the debriefing when you've played your sport and there is halftime, then you're discussing, saying, no, you don't try that. That's who's doing what strategy. And at the end of the game, you spend an hour and there are Excel spreadsheets and people who've been watching the game and who went what, who did what in that strategy and how you must remember that next time. And it has to be done fairly quickly. It has to be done. It is the post-match debrief. So if you've spent the semester, you've done the presentation, and then you go, it's over. That is one way of looking at it. That just assumes that something has happened, you've had the jab, you're now inoculated, and you're okay. But the second one is to look back and say, so that is what happened. So I use the phrase, those two stub sentences. This is from Neil Postman, from his book Teaching as a Subversive Activity. So we're going back to 1986 when somebody gave that to me for my birthday. Oh, terrible person. It ruined my life and I'm still in that ruined place. So he says, I used to be ... You know, complete that sentence. Make it into, you know, I used to be is a line or a series, a paragraph or a series of paragraphs. And then you go to the next one. But now, and that but now nails it. Who were you? What did you think you were going to do? And then as you took your decisions, you wandered down and you came to this place. And this is a different place. This is a new place. And you have all these realizations. You recount those realizations. Can you do your reflection alone? You can. But if you do it with a peer, you do it with somebody who eggs you on, suggests, saying, hey, talk about that. Do you remember that? It works far better. And the reflection is what you cherish. It is what you remember. It's the summary of your growth. And that is very important. Do I do it with my first year students? Yes, I do. Do I do it when I teach second and third years? Yes. Do I do this when I talk to my PhDs? Absolutely. Your reflection. And so try this. Ask somebody to support you to do a reflection. You've done the semester, you've come to the end, you've done your assessment, everybody's out of the place. But now we need to focus on the becoming. Do you realize that there is a shift that has happened? The becoming has been enacted. So you can sit down and say, I'm going to make a list and I'm going to write, and you can do all that. That's one way of doing it. But another way of doing it is, have that list and then ask somebody, saying, I've got a list of things I want to reflect, but then can you be the person I'm having the conversation about my reflection? Because they have seen you shift and they can tell you things that you don't know that you've changed in you. And that completes your learning. It is now common practice in every job, whether it's Google or Facebook or Huawei or Toyota, at the end of the year, or it's Accenture, or it's Atlassian. At the end of the year, you have to do a reflection on your job. Hey, how was the year? What are the things you did? What are the challenges you faced? What did you do? And you sit with your supervisor and you do the reflection as a series of actions you took, shifts you made, strategies you developed, and things that occurred. So a reflection is a requirement. It has become a requirement. Once you've sort of accepted that reflection is a requirement, you can then amp it up to say, my PhD is one of reflective practice. My practice, what I learn, and this is something that has been very, very popular in nursing. It is now there in design and architecture and in creative practice. So just doing stuff and then reflecting upon it completes the journey. And herein comes the clincher. Do you need to do research before you design? Now, there are lots of different positions on this. If you find something and then you go out and do research on it, you could be walking down an analytical path, which means you could be going down a path saying, this is a problem, I'm going to use something called a problem-solving strategy. Do you have a problem-solving strategy? Well, I can give you something that I was exposed to in the 1970s, and this is coming from the book on work study. I hope I've got the reference correct. And it's from the International Labour Organization, but it's a four-part questioning technique. You can sort of modify these questions, but the questions sort of follow quite beautifully, which means that there is something, there is a situation, and you need to look at it, and you need to ask a whole bunch of questions about it, and then you need to resolve it. So the first question is, what is it? So you probably need to describe what you are essentially wanting to look at. What is it? Why is it that way? What else can it be? And finally, the specification for now, for a short while, till the what is it shifts and changes, until the context changes, is what should it be? So what is it? Why is it that way? What else can it be? And what should it be? Is a very quick methodology of solving a problem. So you don't need to sell the problem so much as saying, hey, these are the steps I walked through, and these are the things I found, and these are the decisions I took. Are they the correct decisions? Nobody cares. It doesn't really matter what you take, because there are two correct decisions. All decisions are always correct. It's just that you can assume that you are being trusted to do something good. So there is the problem-solving strategy. But would you use a problem-solving strategy to design a decorative artifact, a light that sits up on the wall that nobody's ever going to touch, and it's been like that for 200 years? Would you? You could probably say yes, but we have two options. We have the yes and the no answer. We're going to go with the no. No, we wouldn't do it like that, because we have the other option available to us, and that is either you could have it propositional. And the propositional essentially is about the fact that I'm going to propose something. Oh, you want me to do a sculpture outside the United Nations in New York, right? There's a big building coming up, and there's a piazza. Yeah, you want something from me? All right. Let me think about it. And I'll give you something. I'll make a proposition up. And it takes some time thinking about what is the metaphor? What is the United Nations? So is it about world peace? It is about... So there's a whole series. So you might do it a linguistic analysis in your head, or you might say, I think it's a dove. No, that's too kitsch. No, it's not a dove. It's, what is it? So it's going to be abstract. It's going to be geometric. It's going to be, So you have to have a proposition. You throw that out, and then that's the proposition for then. And can you come up with a lot of different propositions? Yes. What is the strategy you would use? If you've got the questioning technique there, what is the strategy you would use here? And the strategy that you would use here is that you might want to start with metaphors and proceed along the lines of constructing something based on the metaphor. So what you've essentially got here is that work has method. And the act of enacting work and arriving at a target is a series of methods. I'm trying to book a ticket from here, from Melbourne to Bangalore. And I did Skyscanner and everything, and I did a whole bunch of those kinds of things. And they were, I had sort of 8,000, 12,000, 13,000. And they went around saying, no, this is Australia. Then Qantas is flying. What are you doing, Qantas? Qantas is saying, yes, I can get you to Singapore and back. And I said, that's really fantastic. So, okay, so from there, then Qantas says, we've actually... try to keep it really simple. So if you go to Singapore, if you come with us to Singapore, then we'll take you from Singapore all the way down to Colombo, and then from Colombo down to Chennai, and so on and so forth. I'm saying, okay, that's what you have an offer. What is Singapore Airlines doing? And then so I go and have a look at Singapore Airlines. And then so you can see that the permutations and combinations, there are a lot of actors, and I'm going to try and figure out who's my dance partner. And this journey, this thing, revealing the propositions and the options and the thinking, are all projects important? I think the issue is that you are important. The fact that you're investing time is important. And then when you come to a panel and you're saying, "This is, hey, you're my community. Thank you for coming. I'm looking for some peer support. And yes, look, this is what I've done." So the enactment of a marketing strategy saying, I'm in an adversarial relationship with you. You're a panel. You're my examiners. I'm going to come and throw you something and you're going to go, whoa, you're really great. No. It voids the relationship that this is one of collaboration. And everybody is orientated towards the growth and the support of somebody who's taking their first steps or their 14th step. But it is the student who is in labor. So we're all a gaggle of midwives. I'll leave you with that gorgeous metaphor. So for those of you, the six of you for whom this podcast has specifically been made, and the three others who said, "Can we also have this?" I've sort of tried to put it in place, saying, how does one communicate one's project in the context of a peer assessment or in the context of a review? Thank you very much. That's a really good segue out of this episode. I hope you heard that there's planes flying above us now. Very few, but they've started. See ya.